From the studios of KPCW in Park City, it's This Green Earth, a weekly talk show about the environment and our relationship with it. I'm Nell Larson.
And I'm Chris Cherniak. Thanks for tuning in.
And joining us now for the first part of the show is Brian Tinetti, and he's the executive director of Seven Canyons Trust. He's here to join us because they just celebrated the opening of the Three Creeks Confluence Park in Salt Lake. Brian, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
So before we dig into the Three Creeks Confluence Park, I want to talk a little bit about Seven Canyons Trust and your organization. So tell us what the motivation was to get this nonprofit started.
Yeah, so the Seven Canyons Trust is a nonprofit organization working to uncover and restore the buried and impaired creeks in the Salt Lake Valley. We were actually started out of a University of Utah course in the Urban Ecology Program. And this course was taught by Professor Stephen Goldsmith. And we were essentially given this idea of stream daylighting, or the uncovering of buried streams, with the goal of creating a visioning document. So we entitled that visioning document 100 Years of Daylighting. So essentially looking at a century-long vision to uncover about 21 miles of buried creeks in the Salt Lake Valley and restore about 87 miles of impaired waterway, meaning that their water quality is degraded in some way.
I think the most fascinating thing about this is the buried creeks that many of us don't even know exist underneath us when we're in Salt Lake. Tell us what those creeks are.
So the seven creeks are City, Red Butte, Emigration, Parleys, Mill, Big Cottonwood, and Little Cottonwood Creek, essentially the seven major canyons along the Wasatch Front in Salt Lake County.
Hence the name of your organization, of course.
Exactly.
And why were these creeks buried?
Yeah, so they were all put underground around the turn of the 20th century. And this is not unlike, most major cities that also buried their underground or buried their waterways through kind of the urban areas, the urbanized areas. So you have to remember that, you know, we didn't have taps or faucets or anything like that. So the streams were really the major water source for the early development of Salt Lake City and the Salt Lake Valley. And you can pretty much trace the early development of the city along the waterways. A lot of the, you know, concentration of housing was along those waterways. And, obviously during the springtime when our huge snowpack started to melt, those waterways would flood. And their houses were situated really close to the creeks. So their way to address that was to essentially channelize the creeks to try to control them. And that created a lot of erosion issues, which made the streams unsafe. You know, they had these nearly vertical banks that, you know, would be hard to get out of in springtime flooding. So rather than, you know, pushing the housing a little bit away from the creeks, they decided to essentially put them underground. Also, the way that the valley is set up, you know, geographically, these creeks flow east to west, basically from the city out into the Jordan River and then onto the Great Salt Lake. So they were a way to basically remove trash and waste kind of out of sight, out of mind, and really function kind of as the early sewer systems. So by burying them, you could put, you know, that trash and debris and waste underground and away from, the urbanized areas.
It doesn't sound like something we still want happening to our creeks, though.
Yeah, exactly. We've since, created a little bit stronger building materials, and we've since created a sewer system that conveys waste to water treatment plants. So a lot of the issues that they were faced with or challenged with during that time are no longer issues. And, you know, even during that time, we have this awesome article from the Deseret News from 1921. So this was basically right after, kind of on the tail end of a lot of our creek burial, And the article, and I'll paraphrase, says, you know, cities around the U.S. would gladly pay $1 million to have a creek running through their downtown area. So sort of lamenting the loss of City Creek and the other seven creeks, and, you know, bringing up the notion that a lot of cities are, you know, would pay a pretty penny to have these assets flow through their cities.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think they bring so many benefits to a community and also ecologically. But talk a little bit about kind of the benefits that having a creek running through a community can bring.
Yeah, absolutely. So by this act of daylighting, we're basically taking a creek that is contained within kind of a concrete pipe and bringing it back to the surface. So bringing the water back in contact with the daylight, which is where this term stream daylighting comes from. So by exposing the creek to daylight, you can allow vegetation to grow, which helps to improve water quality, helps to improve air quality. That new vegetation also provides, you know, wildlife habitat. The east to west geographical nature of these creeks provide recreation opportunities, you know, connecting those communities east to west. Here in the Salt Lake Valley, we have sort of a divide between our east and west communities, so these creeks can kind of bridge that gap. They can also, you know, stimulate, you know, and catalyze economic development and economic opportunities as people, you know, want to live by and work by and situate their businesses by these, you know, beautiful creek channels.
Right. And in addition to all that you cite, there is the, I don't know, the emotional or mental or spiritual wellness that comes along with being by or sitting by or walking by along a creek.
Absolutely.
So all of that adds up to, you know, there's literally no downside to daylighting streams, which is a term I've never heard of before. The act of actually taking a daylighting a stream that is buried and now bringing it back to the surface. That's what we do as humans. So tell us why this project. You talked about there's some 21 miles of streams or creeks or otherwise buried. So why did you start with this project?
Yeah, so the Three Creek Confluence Project actually originated in this visioning document, which I mentioned. So in our class, we basically traced each of the seven creeks from their headwaters in the Wasatch Range, kind of following the creeks as they flow into the Jordan River at their confluence. And tracing three of those creeks, Red Butte, Emigration, and Parleys, we noticed that they all spilled out at the same location. And this, you know, kind of stuck out to us in that three of our creeks are spilling out at the same location. And kind of spurred us to do further research. So we went to the site and found the property to be basically a parking lot. And then adjacent to that parking lot right-of-way property, there was basically a half-burnt home. And using those two properties, we created renderings and site plans that kind of imagined the potential of this area. And we presented those vision to the former council member of the neighborhood, District 2 in Salt Lake City. His name is Kyle Amasa. He's since left the council, but he's actually our board chair now. And he really, you know, got excited about the vision, really championed the vision, and brought those concepts, those designs and renderings to the other city departments, Salt Lake City departments, namely the Parks and Public Lands Department in Salt Lake City. And they really kind of helped us progress the project up until now. So that was about 7 years ago that we originally presented that concept.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned, you know, that that took 7 years to sort of make a reality. As Chris was talking about there being no downside of daylighting these creeks, I was just thinking, but the process to get them there is probably incredibly complex because you're dealing with sort of local dynamics and politics and municipalities, utilities. Talk us through what that looks like a little bit.
Yeah, you're exactly right. It is an incredibly complex process, which is why we've created a 100-year vision. planning often looks at 20 to 30-year timeframes to, you know, implement a master plan or a general plan, how a city changes over a 20 to 30-year period. And so we're looking at, you know, almost 4 or 5 times that length because that's truly how long we think it'll take. So the two major barriers that we have is, you know, the political will, which we were able to solve fairly quickly with, the championing of it, via, Kyle, and a really, great Parks and Public Lands Department. So that we could check off pretty quickly through the process. But the other barrier is funding. So stream daylighting, as you might imagine, can be a really expensive process. So the Three Creeks confluence is about 200 feet of daylighting, so 200 feet of new creek channel, and it's about a $3 million project. Hmm. Now that money includes the surrounding park amenities that you, you want to see along a creek channel, right? Benches. We have 2 huge bridges. We have about 20 pieces of community art that has been laser cut into the metal of one of the bridges. We have a nature play space. We have this plaza space and stage, which we utilize for the celebration. So we have a ton of other amenities, but it's a really expensive process. And the funding aspect for this project took us a long time, took us, almost 5 or 6 years to secure between, COVID affecting some of the funding sources or at least creating questions about some of the funding sources and, working through that process takes time.
We're speaking with Brian Tinetti. He's the executive director of Seven Canyons Trust. They are a nonprofit dedicated to restoring the Jordan River's 7 tributaries running through the Salt Lake Valley. So 7 years, was there ever a time, Brian, where you thought this isn't going to work? This isn't going to happen?
I think throughout the process, you always have questions, right? I mean, we originally proposed this project as students. And it's easy to dismiss, students in that, like, they're not professionals, right? So, I think from day one, we were coming in with, a little bit of naivety as students. We're able to present a really ambitious vision, quite literally taking a creek out of a concrete pipe and bringing it back to the surface. So I think throughout the process, there's always questions. And, I think when we originally presented the concept to the city and then the city working through, their community engagement process up until, finding the money to construct it, I think it was fully realized and real to me when we opened it on July 7th. The community, that was kind of when it felt truly real.
Okay, so now the park and the creek is what we'll say up and running, right? Is there, from an ecological point of view, is there plans to do some ongoing monitoring of the expected changes and reformation of natural ecological systems that go along with daylighting a stream?
Yeah, totally. So there is actually a water quality gauge at the outflow, and this is even previous to the project happening. So it was measuring some water quality parameters that we'll continue to monitor. So we have some excellent data from pre-project to post-project. But one of the data sources that I'm really excited about that we're monitoring is bird populations. So we've been working with the Tracy Aviary at the site pre-restoration, pre-project, and now post-project to monitor breeding and non-breeding bird surveys to basically track the populations of birds that are utilizing the site from, you know, parking lot and burned down home to, you know, restored creek channel with, you know, native species, desirable indigenous species at the site to see how those bird populations change. It's one of our, you know, metrics that we can use to measure success if we see a change in those bird populations and diversity or, you know, type of birds from, you know, perhaps urban adapted birds that are utilizing the site when it's a parking lot to, you know, riparian oriented species that are now utilizing it with it being a creek channel and there being, you know, valuable habitat at the site.
Well, we'll have to follow up with you on that in another year or so, see how the monitoring's going. But I have to ask, you know, I know you're hopefully still celebrating this major success, but what do you have your eyes on next? You know, are there other strategic locations that you're hoping to prioritize for daylighting?
Yeah, so, totally. So we've been working on this huge regional visioning process, which we call the Seven Greenways Vision Plan. And we've been working with all eight of the streamside municipalities in Salt Lake County to basically capture the collective imagination in the creation of seven greenway corridors along these seven creeks. And this process is basically identifying opportunity areas, recommendations, goals, ideas for the creation of these greenway corridors, including, you know, areas that we can uncover creeks, areas that we can restore wildlife habitat, you know, areas where we can create, you know, streamside development. And so this plan, which is, you know, essentially a municipal supported visioning document for our organization, will give us basically that 100-year map, roadmap, if you will, for continuing these projects throughout Salt Lake County's watershed.
Fantastic.
So that's a really big visioning plan. I think the next on-the-ground project that we'll be working on is an area that we call the Folsom Corridor. So this is an abandoned rail corridor. Salt Lake City removed the tracks, the railroad tracks from the corridor in about 2008. And the Salt Lake City Transportation Department and the Utah Transit Authority is constructing basically a paved trail down that corridor right now, which will connect the Jordan River Trail to a front runner station, which is downtown, in downtown Salt Lake City. And we have been working with the Salt Lake City Redevelopment Agency to basically design a creek channel down this abandoned rail corridor, which will be City Creek. So essentially down this former rail corridor, we will have City Creek, which will flow adjacent to a paved trail.
Wow. And that sounds like you'll probably get some good sort of mileage from that. You know, when you talk about the 21 miles, that sounds like it might cover some ground.
Literally.
Yeah. it's about a mile long corridor. So.
All right. Well, chipping away. So we have a few minutes left, and I want to ask, you know, I know you have a number of other programs that people can engage in aside from just the daylighting, some youth programs, volunteer opportunities, education opportunities. So give us just kind of a quick sketch of what you guys have available for people who might be interested in getting involved.
Yeah, we have actually this really fun event coming up in September, which we call the Range to River Relay. So this is a three-sport, three-discipline relay race The first leg follows the path of City Creek, and the sport is biking. So you essentially bike the path of City Creek where it's above ground, and then following the creek where it goes below ground. The second leg is boating the Jordan River, and then the third leg is running the Jordan River Trail to the finish line. So it can be done as a team of three, or it can be done as kind of a triathlon for an individual. So that's a really, really fun event that we'll be doing September 4th.
Oh, I love that idea. Chris, are you going to participate?
No. but I do have...
But we encourage others too.
But I do have some other... Yeah, exactly. In fact, my non-participation may motivate others to participate.
Since you're not there, I'll consider
negative,
it.
Negative motivation. I want to know if there's a copy of the Seven Greenways Vision Plan is available on your website, because I want to get a hold of that, because we have streams here that are otherwise buried.
Let's we do.
And could probably at least of benefit into the exploration of the possible daylighting of some of those streams. We want to learn from, you know, your experiences. Is that Greenways Vision Plan available, Brian?
Yeah, so we're still in the midst of the process. So we're in kind of our phase two, which is our community visioning phase. But we have a really cool website that we developed called 7greenwaysvisionplan.org.
Okay.
Which is definitely the best way to stay updated and check out kind of the meat of the plan.
7greenwaysvisionplan.org. It's says what it does, or does
it's
what it says.
Very straightforward.
Exactly. And that's the website to learn more about it. I do want to learn. I think we do need to get some folks up here a little more educated on how your system works. 7 years of experience that you can now share with us, and maybe, you know, the next group, it might only take five because of you've done all the hard yards. And speaking of which, you have no shortage of a labor pool going forward, because you have college students, Brian, that you can tap into, and grad students for all your monitoring, ecological monitoring, sociological monitoring, etc. So go get them.
Thank you.
And last thing, all you need to do is make sure you have enough water. What is the water situation down? I mean, it's one thing to have this confluence. Is there actually water running through these creeks?
It's an important question to hear.
Yeah, an extremely important question. And, you know, I think the Seven Greenways Vision Plan explores that idea in, you know, this natural or artificial, oftentimes, dewatering of our streams for irrigation purposes, you know, water rights and kind of reimagining a system in which we can preserve in-stream flows for our creeks and for our wildlife and our fish and our riparian vegetation.
Well, perfect. We appreciate you joining us today and sharing that vision and the really exciting work that you guys are doing. One more time, where do you recommend people go to learn more about your organization?
It's sevencanyonstrust.org.
Thanks so much for joining us this morning, Brian, and we're looking forward to your update next year.
Yeah, thank you, Brian.
Great, thank you so much.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of This Green Earth.
And if you did, we hope you'll take a minute to rate us, share us, and leave a comment.
You can email us your thoughts and ideas for future shows at thisgreenearth@kpcw.org.
Join us next week on This Green Earth.